I think we've lost Coach Bruce. Is he still here? Is he talking?
I don't think so.
I'm surprised. It's not like
he disappeared too.
What's he doing? He's getting Zeph on a centralized exchange. That's what he's doing.
Do you have any comments about this discussion?
No, I was going to chime in on the anonymization part, but Chad probably knows more than I do about crypto node or RandomX. He's exactly right. Like, it's a, when you send one transaction, it just splits it up into many, which is why, like, you have to wait that unlock period, just like Monero.
Well, one thing is we know at least somewhat bullish times are back, because there's like 129 people in here, and we're talking about pretty esoteric shit right now. Like, we're being able to retain that many people usually means everyone's waiting for their bags to go up. So they're like, let's sit around spaces while we have everything goes up.
Yeah. And I think that's why we all joined this space in the first place. We all want to get the 10x, 100x, 1000x bag. And then we want to watch it round trip back to zero. And that's exactly what Zeph is all about. That's what this project's built for. That's what the entire intention of this marketing campaign, this paid marketing campaign for the last week has been, is to bring Zeph, I'm going to say Monero, to bring Zeph to the top 100 on CoinMarketCap and CoinGecko, and then dump it straight back out of the top 1000 again, just annihilate it completely. We're all going to get such a rush. It's going to be like skydiving. It's going to be like skydiving, except instead of feeling the wind through your hair, you're going to see red candles on your screen, and your wife is going to ask you why we can't afford to go on holiday this year. Why do we have to sell the car? All this sort of stuff. So yeah, I'm looking forward to running it all back all over again.
Hey, we're in it for the high or low, man.
I'm going to head out, guys. I'm kind of driving and chatting at the same time. I should probably shouldn't be doing that. So I'm going to focus on the wheel.
Good
a risk taker.
Catch you later. Mm-hmm. What happened to you, Bruce? Are you broken back there? Did Chad upset you so much you're not talking anymore?
He's talking to the CEO of a centralized exchange.
Oh, great.
I'm around. I'm just sort of semi-working. Do you need me in order to have a conversation?
No, well, yes, but no.
Are you working on like a whiteboard or something?
Probably, by the way, Zeph puts tomorrow.
Told you.
Probably.
It was always probably.
Probably tomorrow.
So at this time in the game, Zeph perps, that's probably going to move the shit out of this and then crash it.
Well, I think we're just chaos maxing, aren't we?
Perfect. This is perfect. Okay. Good to know. Write that down, everybody, in your journals. Zeph perps tomorrow. Humble man told us in his Twitter space.
I would point out that Chainlink is most likely going to moon.
Did you say Chainlink?
Chainlink.
Yeah. Chainlink.
Chainlink is going to moon.
Chainlink.
Maybe that's how both of these blockchains are saved, by merging them into Chainlink.
Bruce, remember I said that Chainlink for sure is going to get to 21, right?
No.
That's what's about to happen next.
But what do you mean by that? You've been saying that shit for like a year and a half.
Year and a half, yeah. But that my time is now.
It's about to happen. What do you, when you say now, when exactly?
Probably.
Now is in like, I don't know, maybe this coming week.
How do you know?
Just because it's like, it's back up to 15, 16 again. Just the odds are very good.
Do you it's have breaking a rack- out of like a wedge.
Yeah, well, 16 was its FIB extension below 21, and really bullish is if it heads to like the 31, 32 area. That's like the next, and then like that becomes a magnet for like prior high pretty much. So like bullish, really good would be like it goes to 31, 32, that area, really within like a month or two, and then it will have a similar chart to like FET does now. Basically, and then the probability of it just mooning at that point is very high. So I think like people who bought the bear market bottom of Chainlink, you know, probably expect kind of like a 10x or more. And that would be like if you bought it at $7, it'd be about $70. So I think that's highly likely. And then I don't know, it's got more narrative and vibes than almost everything else out there. So I think like if anything is going to beat its previous like BTC based high, it's going to be Chainlink, is the most obvious pick for that. So I think like it's quite possible that Chainlink could have its ETH moment, like when Ethereum mooned back in like whatever it was, I forget the years now, 2018 or something. But yeah, it looks like it's the one to have like a really good run up, and it's one of the few that you can like pick up at serious size without worrying that it's going to go to zero or something. Also, like the odds of that are low as well. So I feel like it's like that good balance between you can get a decent sized gigantic bag and you can also expect it to make a gigantic gain too. It's like a sweet spot, basically. You know what I mean? Like it's that
you right. The other day I was watching a trader channel on YouTube and he picked two really nice charts. One was called Wi-Fi and the other one was called DYDX. And I'm not joking, this is true. And he was like, these charts are set up the primed. Wi-Fi was looking really tasty and it mooned like it went nuts. But then it went straight to not zero, but like it got sliced in half just like instantly, just like Darth Maul and Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. And then Wi-Fi also got nuked by a profitable trading strategy. So like, yeah, this is really interesting. Like the charts were good. But
DYDX.
You what?
You said Wi-Fi twice.
Oh, that's because I have Alzheimer's.
It's okay. You're old. And you're infertile.
Don't tell everyone that.
You can no longer get an erection. And you bought the same car 5 times because the dealership were too psychopathic to tell you'd already bought it. Because nobody loves you. And everyone hates you.
Kept going back and buying the same car and ordering the same car over and over 5 times.
There was a guy in the UK that happened to. I think
really?
It was a news article. Yeah, I remember reading it. I was like 11 or something. That made me laugh. And just kept going back and buying the same car. And they kept processing it again. And they imagined they could just get away with it because they were like, oh, it's just he's choosing to do it himself. It's his choice. But he just kept buying the same car like every few days. And they sold him like 11 sports car convertibles, took the cash or credit or whatever. And then somebody noticed, I think, I don't know how it was reported exactly.
Probably noticed when 11 of the same car turned up.
No, but this was like, it was like for order or whatever. Like it wasn't obvious. But I think maybe somebody at the dealership or something reported it and they got arrested for selling the same car again and again, taking advantage of this guy. Real story. You can probably find some of the things as well.
That sounds awesome. Not really awesome, but kind of awesome.
Inspiring, right? Because you start thinking like, how can we specifically target people with Alzheimer's to buy a Zeph? Like a Zeph wallet for pensioners or whatever. Like
manage door to door. You know? The people who sell like the chairlifts and the special showers, like where you have a seat and a rail so you can like pull yourself up and get out, that kind of stuff. But we could also then do like a Zeph thing. I mean, if you think about distribution channels, right, think about from a business perspective, think about the best and most effective distribution channels in the world. One,
TikTok.
The TikTok. Two, the Mormons. What are they? Jehovah's Witnesses.
Tampons.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
What? The flat surface on tampons. When you put it in, you have to read it.
Okay, that's quite a specific and physical distribution method. Are you saying we'd like put like encrypt on the tampon a hash, a key, a private key?
What are those? What are that like? When you're incontinent, you have some underwear stuff that soaks it up. What's that called?
Oh yeah, I know all about them. Night pants.
Well, what if we put Zeph on night pants and do a deal?
We can do a partnership. We need some partnerships.
Ties into what I was saying earlier, right? It's both a good market because they'll forget they bought and buy it again, and also higher probability of death, which means dead wallets, which means collateral isn't going down.
Oh, it's like burnt. Yes, it's as far as I'm concerned.
It's a de facto burn, but it's also like they're not going to sell that shit. And they're also not going to keep up with market movements. Like, imagine if UST and Luna was entirely owned by 90-year-olds. Do you really think they'd respond quickly and dump that shit? No. Or they check it like a month later? It wouldn't have even death spiraled if it was 90-year-olds.
They'd probably see it in the news and then phone their son and say, there's something about my investments gone wrong. Can you check up on it for me?
It would be like six months later, and the death spiral would have never happened, right? But 6 months later, they would ring their son, oh, how's my investment going? And he would say, good, and that's it. Like, there's no investigation. So I think the older the better for our marketing purposes.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Sort of like Zeph for the elderly. Maybe, okay, so the door-to-door stuff, like, you know, we can do a partnership with the night, whatever, soaking up pants night for happens. Incontinent. And we can also do like presentations.
Oh, hang on. Let's just go back over prior demographics. I also want to have people who've had maybe four vaccines, as in double dose plus boosters.
Sure. Why them specifically?
Because they're more likely to die of sudden spontaneous vaccine injuries.
Got it. Like heart failure sort of stuff, like hemorrhaging and
spontaneous
clotting.
Arrhythmias, blood clots in the brain, random things, all that stuff. I want to maximize the care.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm starting to see the logic of this now. So basically, we find people who are close to death or incapable of selling for mental or physical reasons.
Exactly. You want to have people who respond as slowly and as illogically as possible, or they can't respond because they're dead.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good strategy. I think it's quite candid. I like that we discussed this live on a live space that's been recorded as a sort of very open, this is like a board meeting. I want everyone in this room to think of these Twitter spaces like the board meeting. You're all board members. You hold the token, which are like shares in a private company. And we're here to discuss the next steps. So I'd like everybody to just write that down and then in their journals.
Mm-hmm. And people are welcome to speak as well. JG, would you like to have an input?
Yeah. So quick question. I was just looking, you know, on Monero, and I know Zeph and Monero are similar. Is there any building of DeFi protocols or applications on this blockchain, or is that only able to be bridged and then?
No, we don't want that kind of thing.
You don't want to have platforms to actually do stuff with?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Backbone Labs, and you're thinking fucking Skeleton Punks on Zeph, and Zeph Punks, Zeph Bone Punks, Zeph LSD Punk, Backbone Lab Punks, all that. No, this is just a black
what
hole.
What you do is you take your liquid staking derivative, right, and you lend it, and you borrow some liquid staking, and then you use that to mint NFT, and then NFT gives you a right to get access to special merch, and then you distributed tickets to see Madonna. At once per quarter.
Hey guys, man, do I have a looping strategy for you today?
So yeah, JG, no smart contracts on this, please. Please, no.
I'm gonna put a smart contract on this motherfucker, watch.
The good thing about this, because it doesn't do too much shit, we can sit and bullshit here the whole day instead of like talking about like looping policies and collateralization and whatever the fuck else.
No, optimizing.
I'll give you an idea though, JG. You should do an NFT set, but the amount of people in the set is private. And nobody would ever know if there's 10 or 10,000. So people are forced to guess the rarity. And you basically make it sort of you lean a bit tongue in cheek. You're highlighting the features and the benefits of the chain. At the same time, you're being really evasive and ridiculous, right? I reckon you could sell a really funny NFT set. And then it's like you only, you would only know the count based on who posted on social media and proves it. Otherwise, there's no fucking clue. You can have it. You can say anything, right? It's like a mystery NFT set with mystery rarities and mystery everything. And if people can prove it if they do like a screen recording or something, but that's it. Like otherwise, no fucking clue. Privacy NFT.
The only thing that won't be a mystery is that the IQ of the collective group is like 85 or something.
No, but I'm serious. I think this is actually like right now we have Zeph, right? It's going up in value, and we need to sort of highlight the features in serious and funny ways. And the community is growing. They don't have a war paint yet. They don't have an interesting, fun war paint. I mean, we have like the spiral thing on Twitter and we're joking around and we're having fun or whatever. But I reckon a private NFT set would be, just be really funny. And I reckon it would sell out pretty quick, right? And you just like make fun of it. You have fun around it. And like it would sell out. It definitely will sell out quick if you design it well.
Hey, that had me dying right now.
I'm totally serious, by the way. Like privacy NFT set, I think, is really funny and totally possible.
Jazz, what you been up to? You ready? Like, Jazz is here. He's ready for Chainlink to moon with me.
Yeah, dude. I mean, high time frame kind of retest into demand, and it looks pretty good for sure. I actually had a question about some DeFi, probably bullshit, though, because I know Coach owns Astro, and that's what I'm kind of curious about. I was sort of interested to hear his thesis, and or Seffy or anyone else, if y'all own any Astro too. I was kind of curious on that one.
It sort of relates to the latest activities from TFL and Luna in general, right? So it seems like one of the main things that TFL and Luna in general want to do is have really deep liquidity for major pairs and coins in general in the cosmos, so that it becomes the place to trade, right? So they've filled up the pool of Bitcoin. They filled it up of, I think, Solana, I think of Ethereum. And I think they've also just like tripled all of the pools with Astro and Luna and USDC, Axela USDC and all that stuff. And I think another thing that is informing this maybe in some ways is the fact that a lot of the money they have in their treasury is they have a sizable amount, right? Like by all means, like by all by all commenters on this who know about this stuff, they have a lot of money. And I think maybe there's a level of like guilt or uncertainty about spending all of it, because ultimately it is Do Kwon's, right? It is Do Kwon's personal pocket money. So they can't really spend it too easily on everything. But what you can do is you can lock it up as liquidity, and then it's no problem because Do Kwon can get it back one day. I reckon, based on the current plans and based on what's happened and the in like big injection of liquidity into Astroport and to some degree the other DEXs, like this new Ra thing, I think Astro benefits from that stuff about 100 times more than Luna does. I think Astroport have really got a great end of the deal with all this stuff. Because I think like there's a much more obvious usage that's going to happen, because it'll become the place for preferable swaps. And I think like they're also much more incentivized now, since they have some, I think they also have some more runway, because TFL purchased like 25 million tokens, which is effectively Delphi Labs or Astroport's runway for a long time. And they've probably come up with some kind of deal as well, where it's like, if we give you runway, then you have to do the Astro War shit and really drive this thing to the moon. But I think, and also like the deeper the liquidity is on Terra through Astroport, the more interesting stuff can be built on top. Like maybe Lavana comes back, or maybe Mars comes back, or maybe money markets come back and different things. Like it's better overall for activity long term that they have like deep liquidity. But I think in the short term, Astro is just like the clear winner. There's no real obvious way that Luna goes up in the short term, but there is a massively obvious way that Astro goes up in the short term, because they are the beneficiaries of the latest deals.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the other coin that's going to moon. I think Akash is going to do really well this time. You know, it's the cloud computing thing, Greg Osuri's thing. And here, look at the post that just someone put up. The daily amount of USD spent for cloud services is like jumping quite quickly. And that means that like people are actually using this thing. And a big thing for them was USDC was brought native onto the Kosh network about what, a few months back, which has kind of got the price moving a little bit. But I think Akash is very highly likely to beat prior highs. It's at like $1.50 now, and I think prior high was like around $8. That's another decent multiple coming, and almost nobody knows what it is, except that like you can run AI applications on it, like in a decentralized way. So they have decentralized GPU compute in addition to the ability to like just like do a decentralized website, for example. So I think the odds that it's going to go up are pretty good, pretty good. And it's like under recognized compared to like FET or whatever right now.
All right, I'll buy some.
This is more of an osmosis thing, though. Although I think they have it on, do they have it on KuCoin and stuff too?
Hope so.
They used to have it on.
But what are you celebrating? $2,000 a day? Is that your celebration?
No, I'm just saying like the it's actually getting used now, whereas historically like the usage of the platform is kind of so-so. I think because they started offering GPU processing decentralized. It looks like a bullish case for like the overall use
Airbnb for AI for GPUs. Yes.
That's why it's rendering. Blown up too. If you look at like Clore and DNX and all the other GPU like marketplaces, they're blowing up and they have been for the last several weeks. So AKT is just catching
Render
up.
And all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Render is the same way. But the funny thing about the AKT post that you were talking about is that somebody else was talking about sort of speculating that they're renting the cloud compute to mine Zeph. Because they're not. This is the. If you look at the graph, it's not for the GPU revenue. It's the cloud compute side. So that's kind of interesting.
I like that narrative.
Yeah. Somebody else. Somebody from the Facebook. They're not Facebook. Stupid. The Twitter cult that we're in. The messenger there was sharing a post about it. And somebody else asked, "Who else owns Astro? I hold Astro."
So the concept I'm a big is Astro. Like. Because the price of compute on Akash is cheap compared to like going to other cloud services or buying your own server, you could like mine crypto on like Flux Network or Akash, but you're paying, you know, like pennies on the dollar for the actual work. And it brings a lot of transactions to the Akash network. And like, you know, who cares if the actual value of the network of Akash is actually worth whatever, 300 million. We know that these numbers are just nonsense, right? But like the memification and the sharing of, oh, look how much transactions are happening on network and all that stuff is just where people start doing their research as the bull market comes along. And then like, oh, like, look, and they have a dashboard and number go up and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people get wrapped up in that. And I think that, you know, with combination of AI narrative and just like cloud computing or whatever, and then the different dashboards and metrics that they have that you can tweet out, I think the odds of it going up are quite good. And it's really found its bear market lows all the last 2 years anyway. So I think most things are going to be up only if you just throw a dartboard, you know, throw a dart at them. But this particular one, I think, has a good, strong relative upside in terms of pumpamentals or whatever narrative type stuff. But I've had the thing for like, I've owned Akash tokens, coins, whatever you want to call, like coins, actually. It's its own L1, but I've had them since like almost 3 years now. So it'll be good if my bags finally go up. It's been a long wait.
What's really interesting about the Astro stuff is that not only has Terra publicly announced that they're buying the token, OTC, but so has, I think, the Neutron blockchain as well. So it's just really, really crazy that layer one founders are just tweeting out that they're buying up Astro tokens, which is extremely bullish. If you think about it. So I don't know if any other blockchains are going to do the same. In fact, I suspect they probably won't, but it's definitely interesting because the whole concept of Astro Wars is like buy the token and lock it up so that you can vote on where more Astro tokens get emitted. That's basically it. It's a mechanism to get people to lock the tokens for 4 years. So yeah, it's pretty bizarre, actually. I don't really understand why these blockchains are doing it. Because anyone who was here around last time around, it was the Astro War stuff was like, oh, what about UST? Because it's very exciting. It's like, oh, wow, we got like billions of dollars of UST in liquidity on Astroport. Like now it's interesting. It's like, oh, yes. You know, like it actually kind of matters. Like there's actually people who care. But now it's like, who really cares about how deep these pools are on different blockchains of different random tokens? Like, there's no hype or interest really. So the fact is these chains are just jumping in like, yep, better scoop up some Astro tokens is like publicly on the timeline is pretty weird.
By the way, Bruce, we're going to want to like get the Akash tokens before we chat with Greg Osuri in the actual space.
He
follows us. He sometimes retweets like Akash shit that I post. So that's why I know we can get him on and we can kind of, you know, get all the gin up the excitement.
How many should I buy?
I don't know. Like maybe, I don't know, 10K worth or something.
Will it do a guaranteed 10X?
I think 10X is highly probable. 5X for sure. 10X and maybe.
But by what time? Writing it, I'm next to my calendar now.
Let's give it maybe 6 months.
Pencil it in for May the 19th, 2024. May the 19th, 2024. Get your pencil.
Some people say that, like, some people's theory is that this time, because previously, like, all of the bull market shit happened after halving. Some people argue for a curve where it's like, you know, because that's happened before and, you know, things almost never happen exactly the same way. Like, we'll have a much bigger run up pre-halving this time, which would be before March. So, like, all the entire altcoin space just blows its top, which, you know, does make some sense because, like, where BTC is at resistance and this and that, altcoins typically go up anyway. So, I don't know, maybe everything just sort of moons for no apparent reason. You know how these ridiculous illiquid markets go, they just go nuts. But I think that would make some sense. Every time you go to the charts and things, you go, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy exactly right after halving because we know that there's going to be a sell the news dump then. And then, you know, like, then there's going to be something. And then I'm going to buy then. I'm going to get rich. So everyone has this, like, big plan. And then it seems to happen, whatever chart happened last season, it's like you can almost imagine that won't happen this time. It's very typical, actually.
Okay, front running. What else? Whatever tokens are you guys holding or buying? Has anybody got a bag they'd like to show? Don't make it boring, though. Make us dream.
Yeah, like who has a 1000x bag? That's like, besides Zeph, I mean.
You got a little bag? A little bag or something?
Yeah, what's the 1000x?
Anybody holding some Rollbit or some ticker Bitcoin or something like that? Milady's NFTs, that sort of thing.
In terms of on-chain stuff, I recently picked up a little bit of Unibot just because it looks like, to me, the kind of the exploit was sort of like probably a bottom deviation type of event, and then it looks to be consolidating around 40-50 bucks right now, I think. And they're continuing to build a lot. And, you know, I think that sort of narrative may come back around as well. So I think Steffi talks about this a lot too. I mean, it may seem obvious, but like, I look for like, okay, where can I buy something where my downside is probably limited to like maybe 30 to 50% or something like that. And Unibot to me kind of looks like that. So it's like I said, on chain right now is kind of slow as well. So when that comes back around, I think it could be a leader.
Kind of a wreck chart already.
Yep, exactly.
Unibot. And where are you getting this on, Uniswap or something?
Yep, Uniswap. Yeah, I would need to locate the tweets, but people have done pretty intense like revenue and PE analysis and stuff. And I want to say I saw a tweet where someone was saying like its PE ratio right now is like a little over one, which is obviously like ludicrously low.
Market cap's like 53 million, which is lower than Zephyr at the moment.
Yep.
And 1 million circulating.
Good liquidity, pretty decent liquidity too. Over 5 million in liquidity in the pool. So,
And what, like, does the coin do anything special, or do we give a shit, or it's like number go
up? It basically like unlocks. I haven't actually used the product myself, the bot myself. I know that people do and like it though. And the thing is, like, they're actually creating like this whole like mobile trading terminal and stuff. Like that's one of the big things they built or are building right now. Like I said, I haven't used the product myself, but it's apparently pretty popular. And so like, I think depending on the amount of tokens you have, it unlocks different like basically capabilities within that. So yeah, I mean, I believe there is like revenue share to some extent. I recently picked it up just because chart looked in the shitter and I know it got a lot of hype previously, but they're still building a lot. So
what do you think about Coach Bruce's rule at the top, Seffi?
Let's see. Bruce's crypto trading rule number 17. The more people believe something to be true, then the more money there is to be made of them being wrong. This is why the crypto trader's consensus language of technical analysis also ultimately fails. There is no incentive for predictive power.
I think that's definitely true. Look at North Korea. Everybody in North Korea believes that Kim Jong-un, is that it now? Is it Un? Is basically a deity or the next best thing. And they all believe that enough to the point where they have mass hysteria and they cry and they wail and they flap their hands when these people die. And then equally, they all revere them and go and dance and march in unison because they do all genuinely have this belief ingrained in the culture that he is, even though he's clearly not. Or I might be wrong. And I think the same is true in crypto. If a large group of people believe something is true, then it is. Take, for example, Cardano being like this fantastic revolutionary technology or whatever. Enough people believe it, then it is. It doesn't really matter if the substance. Look at us. We've all sort of left here. But
hold on a second. It's not?
What? Oh, it could be. Maybe I'm in the wrong here. Maybe I'm the one who's been brainstormed. See, I need to go to sleep. My Alzheimer's is kicking in. What was I going to say? I've lost my train of thought. Can I buy a car?
Cardano. Something about Cardano.
That's it. Yeah. Hysteria, mass hysteria, groupthink is true. We're all here. None of us have read the Zeph white paper or any Medium articles or anything. We're just making it up. I have no idea what it is. But we're all convinced it's like perfectly secure and private and it's the next best thing.
I'll find out one day. You know when I'll find out when people around me are crying.
Crying and you've got... they've lost it all. Who's that Asian woman who did a documentary or an interview? Carol Vorderman. No.
Laura Shin.
Laura Shin, yes, Laura Shin. Then Laura Shin would go on screen and go, "The Zephyr protocol was the biggest explosion since Terra Luna. And now I'm on with the founder, Zephy. Zephy, what do you have to say for yourself?" And then you'll be there and you'll be like, I'm not going to do an impression of Zephy while he's here at least. It'd be very rude. But you'll say something. What will you say to Laura Shin when she asks you what happened, what went wrong?
She'll destroy you, Jesus Christ.
Oh, me versus Laura Shin.
Yeah, she's got like the stare. She's got like a stare. Like, you know, she's looking at the camera, kind of look at her little eyes.
Practice the stare before talking at, to the Shin woman.
Man, I can't wait to play Fat Man Zeph.
Exactly. You do a voice changer, like
run it up again.
Laura Shin show.
Yeah, I'll be on with Zach Guzman. I can't wait.
Oh, hello. He's been DMing me and stuff.
Yes, yes.
Hello, my name is Zach Guzman, and I'm here to interview the team of the Zephyr Protocol. What went wrong? What went wrong with the Zephyr Protocol?
Wasn't that the Cointelegraph or something like that, right? Isn't that their exact coin? What?
Coin gape? As in like a gape?
Isn't that a porn category?
Yeah, what? No, like, isn't that show that they have, like, it's just, like, two of them, and maybe they, like, didn't they float, like, an NFT where if you're an NFT holder...
CoinGape is the first decentralized show determined by the NFT holders themselves. It's the new wave of journalism.
And the NFT holders got to decide, like, who they would interview next or what topics or something.
They got to give Zach money.
Yeah, I recently listened to the pair of them speaking about something, and I don't know, the entire thing was insufferable. Have you heard them lately?
Yeah, I think his main claim to fame was the fact that he once interviewed Do Kwon or something.
Yes, that's what it was. That is what it was. And then all of a sudden, maybe got some followers or something happened, but it's just like, I don't know, it's something very boring about whatever they're talking about. And they don't actually know very much either, which is another problem. It'd be one thing if you're just nerds or whatever and you had some like geek speak or some shit, right? But to not know what you're talking about and not be funny or not be interesting is like terrible. I couldn't figure out what I was listening to. I just turned it off.
Yeah, so that's going to happen. When Zeph blows up, that's when you'll learn about what it is, because you have to scramble to, you know, cover your backside and, you know, what we're going to delete, you know, going to go private on your Twitter, you know, it's all going to blow up and it's going to be a problem. Even though from the start, the whole point, everyone said is going to go to like minus 99.9%, going to keep going down, you know, don't try and catch the bottom, because a coin can go minus 99% like 4 or 5 times, you know, in a row, consecutive days. So just don't try and catch the bottom. But even if you say that, people are still going to blame you. So yeah, groupthink, the trading rule, Humble Man, I think is correct, because I think groupthink rules everything in crypto to an extreme degree.
Oh, I don't want to buy this token now. I see that Crypto Cheeto has been shilling this shit with his weird round head.
Yeah, you better hurry up before he gets all in it.
He is in it already. He's been posting about it. You're going to try to get me to buy the top.
The fuck?
He's already been shilling it. Look at his fucking timeline. Look up AKT on the timeline. The round fucking melon head guy has been shilling it already. And then Zeffy is shoving it down our throats because he's already bought a bag.
Yeah, why don't you just get the Vaseline and just apply it liberally to my puckered asshole before you fuck me next time?
Not only has he held this bag for years, but all these fucking retard melon head influencers are already shilling it. And then, as well as that, it's just jumped up like 80% in a few days. He's trying to exit.
Exit liquidity. I never thought this would happen.
You're going to get some so I can sell this thing?
And they're trying to get excited about a $550 million market cap chain because it's using $2,000 a day of compute power or some shit.
Yeah, it's probably the devs' computers, man. I mean, you know,
like the most easily fakeable stat ever.
It's like, oh yeah, we really need to like run 500 versions of ChatGPT like all week, all the time. You've got to keep pumping out images. You've got to keep pumping out videos. Like, come on, yeah, this is so easy to manipulate. I mean, we could probably in this group right now, like
would you rather have a project GPU that maybe is like hours. A combination of a DEX?
Oh,
launch pad and a exchange.
Okay, go on. You have me intrigued.
Sounds good. What is it?
Yeah,
I'd buy that.
I think they call that what, Terraport or something.
Terraport. Okay, that's a new one. When does it launch?
Next week.
Wrong. Right. You haven't kept up. It launched last week.
Did it?
On the 16th of November, it's already launched. It's live.
Oh, great. Well, okay. We've missed the boat then, obviously, on this DeFi platform plus launch pad plus DEX, changing the face of... I think I saw the same guys are doing a fork of the Terra shuttle. Did I see that? I think I saw that on my timeline. Like, what could go wrong? So for context to everybody else who has no fucking clue what we're talking about, because none of you were in the spaces when we were talking about it before, apart from JG NFT, who's laughing liberally, is a team basically of fellas from somewhere in the UK who sound a bit like that, came and they forked a working DEX on Terra, and then they deployed it and it got rugged for $5 million somehow. No one knows how they did it. It's just fork a perfectly working DEX.
You're going ahead a little bit, but they...
Okay.
So they were looking around the Lunk blockchain of how to make a bit of money, and there were two existing working DEXs that already worked absolutely fine, really. Nothing wrong with them at all. And nobody even wanted to swap any tokens. There was nothing to swap anyway, so who cares? But they decided to launch a new project, a DEX, on the Lunk blockchain, raised about, I think, what, like $4 million, something like that.
Something like that. From random retail in one-to-one Discord chats.
From people in Turkey just before the earthquake, took their remaining money and then launched this thing. But it turned out that this thing was just a code fork of the original TerraSwap, which is one of the things that I think TFL launched, right? On the original chain.
Yeah, I think it was like the miscellaneous DEX that just had to work, just deploy something.
And they added some bullshit token or whatever. And then within days of it launching, the whole thing got hacked completely, and $4 million or $5 million just disappeared instantly. but the funny thing about the whole thing was that they managed to put the blame on other people so much that nobody even cared. So now they've just relaunched it, even though like a huge amount of money has disappeared. And it was clearly the team's negligence, like having zero code understanding to fork something and fuck it up so badly. It's very strange.
Yeah, and this is a case of groupthink. It's perfect. It's like, even though it went, like everybody, they used the invested money. This is the crazy thing. They used the invested money from one-to-one Discord chats with Turkish people who then lost their houses. They used it to actually provide liquidity in the DEX, and then the DEX got rugged. And so everybody lost everything. The token obviously went to zero. And then they're like, okay, what next? Like in that case, you'd think most teams would be completely fucked. But to give them credit, they managed to turn it around, and everybody now is on their side again. Like launch this thing. Yes, we can't wait. So I think that's a lesson for us all, that groupthink is the most powerful thing in crypto, because like obviously that's just a horrible idea. Like don't try this again, but they're doing it. And that's why we love this industry.
It doesn't matter. The lesson is, it doesn't matter what you do. Just as long as you keep building, people will be on your side. Especially if they paid you, you might have no other way of getting out.
Hey, it's like Stockholm Syndrome with these guys over here. I can't even believe they're going to do this again.
Yeah, they're going to run it back. They're going to run it back, and then we'll see. But many such cases, like this is what I was saying about DeFi, it's just a big, horrible experiment. Everything keeps blowing up and getting hacked all the time. It's super, super risky. It's often not worth anything less than 10,000% APY. Like if you're getting like 100%, not worth it. If you're getting 50, definitely not worth it. So just bearing that in mind.
If you're chasing that death spiral high, though, DeFi is definitely one of the places where you can achieve that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yes, true. You can loop your shit. You can loop your shit infinitely. Leverage up to the tits. It'll take you like 4 hours to unwind this position. So, you know, this is kind of like the fun thing. But you're probably not worth your time. Especially if you can get 5% on like normal money in a bank account. It's pretty good. So unless you're getting like in at the start of Ohm or something, then yeah, I don't know. Rambling now. Should we talk about something else? Don't want to talk about crypto anymore.
Going on and on and on about nothing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just fucking talking about nothing. Talk about nothing again. I'm still upset because Zephy tried to use his exit liquidity. That's got me really upset.
Do you actually think I should buy this thing right now at this moment in time, Zephy? Or are you just trying to pump your own bags? Because people who are naive and vulnerable.
No, get now.
I was just looking at buying it right now, too.
No, now's good. Again, it's FOMO now or don't bother. It's not one of these things where you just, like, wait around. Because it's about to break its local high that it just had, like, what, this last month or something? So I haven't been following very closely. I just have a bag. It was sitting there, so it's like it's interesting. I think I haven't even broken even on the fucking thing yet. I think I bought it at like 2, or something like that, maybe, on average. It's like $1.50 or something right now. So yeah, it's getting there. But it's one of the few, you know, when people say, "Oh, does it do anything? Does it have utility and shit?" Like it's easy to find. Like there's a narrative to this thing, so it's fairly easy to. For someone to pop up on YouTube, make a video, oh, it does this, it does that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a purely, like, it's not the typical layer one or whatever. So I think it'll run with AI or whatever.
Why did Sam Altman get fired? Did he, like, is it, like, just a boring thing, like,
in terms of politics? I think this guy, Ilya, like, the way it's described, like, Sam's sort of, like, the business type. He wants to align everyone together and make them kind of, you know, build cool shit and tied them in with Microsoft, and then started creating like this situation where, you know, Microsoft's making all sorts of products because obviously they want to be able to demonstrate that, you know, they're in AI and they're making money and whatever. Because, you know, you dump a huge bag of like investment into this thing, you know, you want some sort of products to come out of it. And like the sense is like that maybe this other guy Ilya, he's more hardcore. He's more like AGI nerd. He wants to have artificial general intelligence created by these people. And he doesn't like the fact that like they're sidetracking it onto these like different business ventures or whatever. So somehow or another, maybe he got this guy got the board to kind of, you know, kick Sam Altman for some reason because he's not sticking with the vision or the original mission of the project or something. And then the president of the company or whatever it is who is on the board also kind of stepped down when he did. And then a whole bunch of employees and shit like revolted at this point. And they're like, yeah, if you don't put him back where he belongs, then we're all going to quit type of thing. And probably like Microsoft has something to say about it too at this point, because they're like, wait, what the fuck are you guys doing with our investment? Like, why are you kicking out Sam Altman? You didn't ask us any of this. And so I think there's a lot of like internal politics going on there. And the whole thing, it looks stupid though. It's like,
it's way more boring than I was hoping. I was hoping it'd be like a big scandal or something. But yeah, it just seems pretty retarded.
Yeah, it's like Sam Altman fucked his sister or whatever. That's the theme going around, because his sister keeps going around saying that like Sam and my brother, you know, sexually and technologically and physically abused me. Like literally those are the words that she said. And I'm like, wait, what? Like,
okay. Yes, that sounds way better.
Well, she's probably right.
She's probably, yeah, pretty did.
I've always got bad vibes from Sam Altman. I can imagine him diddling her.
I think so. I think
he's a diddler? He did something.
Well, I mean, there's always a chain, right? Like something probably happened to those kids and then they can't pass it on or whatever. But yeah, I think he's like probably psychologically really messed up.
Like he belongs at OsmoCon?
He belongs at OsmoCon.
He's the kind of guy who'd go into the toilets, into the cubicles at OsmoCon. But we won't talk about that because we've been paid not to.
There are the things we've been paid to say, and there's the things that we've been paid not to say.
Really profitable.
Did you like my concept I've been pushing this market, which was like, I kept claiming to be paid to FUD. Nobody had heard of this concept before. They hadn't really wrapped their minds around it. But I would do it with like Juno and stuff, and then I'd take credit. And then somebody offered me money to FUD like some other blockchain in the cosmos. And then Sunny was messaging me and stuff, like asking who had paid me to FUD Juno and is this true and all this stuff. And I created like this infinite unraveling conspiracy where I kept implying it was like people on certain teams and things, but I never clarified. I was like, well, you know, like I've done this stuff, but I've also, you know, I'm very moralistic. I'm very committed to confidentiality. And if I don't talk about my clients and their intent, you know, I'm going to check that they have a good reason to do it. And I'm going to ask for a reasonable sum, but I'm not going to, you know, snitch on them or reveal something when ultimately I'm doing it to feed my own family. You know, and it's my love for my family that makes me do this the most. You know, I would otherwise never consider it.
I mean, you've kind of taken like a crypto Hippocratic oath almost.
Yeah, you make it like if you're doing anything like this, like talking about paid FUD or something, you wrap it all up in this like weird moral framework where you're like, I would never breach my confidentiality of my clients. I would never do it in XYZ circumstance. You're very, very strict about it all. It's almost, you make it sound almost like a very disciplined warrior or something, like a hitman that only kills the most evil of people.
A serial killer who kills serial killers.
Exactly. It's got to be that kind of vibe. And that's like the most infuriating thing. like, because clearly somebody would have done it a hell of a lot if they've got a moral framework around the whole thing.
At this point, the only way Adam goes up is if all the people in the cosmos buy Zeph, it moons, and then go buy Adam token next.
I don't see anybody buying
Atom. I bought some Akash, by the way.
Ooh. That's a bet on GPU usage in the next 2 years.
God knows what it does. Let's have a look.
That's a leveraged bet on the explosion of AI and the proliferation of Airbnb GPU business models.
What does it actually do?
Not sure.
Pretty much what he just said.
There you go.
Sovereign infrastructure that scales. An open source super cloud.
Well, there you go. We had the cloud, right? Then we had cloud 2, cloud 3, and now we have super cloud. Super cloud is just like the cloud you're familiar with, but it comes with one distinct new feature, and that is it's super.
They haven't updated their blog since August. This is a negative sign.
Well, like website management is boring anyway.
Is this an insider exit pump? And they're pumping it on the basis of $2,000 a day of usage.
Yeah, that's highly likely. But that's good, right?
Depends when you sell.
Do we know anybody on the team? Between us. Seffi, you said the founder retweets your shit.
Yeah, Greg Osuri.
Do you trust the founder?
Yeah. He's been around a long time.
Okay.
They're in it for the tech.
If your family was in a burning building and you were unable to get there on time and only Greg was there, and would you trust Greg to kick down the door to save your family?
I think there's a fair chance he'd probably bring gasoline and fuel the fire a little bit.
No, he's got to kick it down and risk getting burned to save a kid and your wife.
But only after throwing gasoline on the fire, I suspect.
Okay, dodging the question. I take that as a big fat no.
Well, I'm pretty sure he dumped on me probably a few years ago.
Ah.
So there's that, you're right.
So now you're passing along the favor.
This chart is very weird. It's like a very linear, weird chart where there's not really... Have a look at this weird... Chart.
Look at the coin market. I mean, sort of the coin gecko version of it. So you can see that it's starting that parabolic now. So when these things go up, it's completely irrational, right? So it just pops. There's no need to overthink why it's going up or whatever. But it's definitely putting in higher lows consistently, and the gap is narrowing. So it's it's starting its parabolic move. It'll do it. I think within a few months, you'll see a pretty big bump.
Okay.
And this time we'll dump on Greg.
I just bought $1 million of it.
Perfect. So we'll dump on Greg when the time comes. He probably feeds his family or whatever with it, right? Or pays developers or something along those lines. So it's probably a love coin is what I'm saying.
Okay. I think we've given enough airtime to Aircash. The contractual requirement was 10 minutes.
You guys are really boring. Why aren't you telling me about Zeph and why my tokens are going to go up and give me something to be happy about? You guys are weird.
Hey, you know what? Zeph was supposed to go up by now.
Hey, wait, what is the price of Zeph right now?
Maybe if you weren't talking in such a boring manner, it might go up.
Okay, hang on. So the thing about Zephyr Protocol is it's $24 right now, but I think that in just a few short months, it could even be $143 per token. And that's based on statistical analysis, quantitative analysis. It's based on social trends. It's based on the need. It's product market fit. There's hype. There's momentum. There's so many important, exciting things happening. We've got two incredible founders in Zephy and Coach Bruce, who's really taking the project forward to new heights. So I'm super excited to introduce this project to everybody here. I think it's going to be a great project. I think I'm going to go to the Bronx for a bit. I think this project's great. I think there's a lot of great things about this project to talk about. So, okay, that's enough from me. But, I think you guys got the message. It's a great project.
Man, you have the entire... QT has done this many times. You can sense he's been in these little board meetings or whatever with the crypto peoples.
He's got his own YouTube channel. He does that shit a lot.
Yeah, I got a YouTube channel. I do an American voice though, so no one knows who I really am. Like, if you knew who I really was, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
Crypto King.
That guy.
Yeah, what is really needed right now, if anyone's going to produce them, is these Zeph to $1,000 YouTube videos.
Via Redfield.
Imagine. I don't know, there's something about that chap. I won't get into it, but I don't know.
Sexuality,
yeah. Yeah, it's a sort of a sexual attraction.
Yeah. I think he'd go for you.
Hey, Bruce, who's the guy that made the YouTube video about us? Like,
Stellar Prism.
Oh, no, that's right.
No, not Stellar Prism. I can't believe you still remember that name. So funny that you remember. No, I'm talking about this, like, about Zeph. Like, someone made a little video and posted it.
Oh, he's got some random name like Ice Cream and Cookies or some shit.
Hmm. So, I wonder if they can produce some more stuff for us.
We should network.
Yeah, reach out.
Yeah, give him a script and he can do it. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, surely Zeph's going to go to 1,000, right?
So I really want to understand
predicting it.
I really want to understand the whole thing inside out. Like exactly what would happen if it did spiral, and how the incentives kick in, and exactly how the reserve token dynamic works and all this stuff. Because I reckon, like, it's not because I particularly want to understand it. It's just I reckon they've done quite a bad job of communicating it. Like, if somebody wants to find information about a certain thing, it's quite hard. All they have really is a 30-page academic white paper. Something of a mystery.
You know it can spiral because in the right conditions. Like, all that has to happen is the price of the primary token gets run up on illiquid exchanges to numbers that are just completely unsustainable. So let's say, for example, on Mexi today, somehow or another, the Zeph token goes to $1,000, right? We know this kind of nonsense can happen in illiquid exchanges. But let's say this happens. There's no real sort of like funding behind that. So what happens is now you have the ability to like print lots of the stablecoin if you want to. And maybe people will. And then people can go into the reserve token or whatever. But then what if the price of the token falls like 90% after you have produce stablecoin on it based on like the supposed 400% over collateralization ratio? It just simply has to drop even more than that, and then it's like sort of unpegged again. But the thing is, like, you don't death spiral the primary L1. The Zeph token still works and everything, but then people question, like, wait, like, why would, you know, like, if this can do this and it can be this volatile, why would we get this, why wouldn't we just go Monero, whatever, right? So then the FUD begins. So really the right thing is, like, if the Zeph token goes up and there's not much of the stable minted, that's more bullish. If you're seeing vast quantities of the stable coin being minted for every reason, then you know the situation is becoming more bearish. That's how you know it's time to get out.
That's what I was saying to Coach the other day. If I ever see a ton of this stable coin getting minted, then, man, I'm out so fast. Like, I'm out of this thing. It's getting primed. It's like, you know, in the cartoons when the dynamite.
So long as the collateral is like in the 1,000% plus range or even higher, like, that's good. Because that means you have the ability to mint to stable whenever you feel like it, right? And when that's not the case, then there's got to be some downward pressure on either the primary token or some of the Zeph USD or whatever has to be converted back in substantial size. I think that's the issue. Because, like, at these wild market caps, think about this. Who's going to be the market maker to peg the stable? Like, to Tether or Circle or whatever, there's just not going to be enough. Like, if you have a sudden expansion of the number of tokens based on a sudden upswing of the price of Zeph, there's not enough market makers to peg that on the exchange, on Mexi or wherever. And that's all it takes, is an extreme movement of the price of the main token outside of the bounds of any kind of physical reality. Like, that's all it takes. So it'd be different, like, I think, if you started minting the stable, like, let's say you started minting it like maybe 5 years into the project, where, you know, Zeph has gone through a lot of price discovery, it's on lots of exchanges, and the price is like has materialized and is real, and there's actual exit liquidity for a substantial portion of the market cap of it, you know, then it becomes boring. But then now you can create the stable in relative security, I think. So, like, for example, if you added this protocol onto the existing Monero token with its market cap and its relative stability, I think you'd be relatively fine. But because this is a start, like, it's just starting out, you could have Zeph token price skyrocket relative to the amount of real liquidity. I think that's the problem right now, if anything, right? So I think that the Zeph token by itself is much more bullish to me than anything related to the stablecoin part of it. Like that by itself is the investment thesis, because it's like an early Monero basically with this sprinkle on top. And I think that's going to attract a lot of people just for that alone. Does that make sense? Does that seem reasonable, Bruce?
Yeah.
Or QT, whoever.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think
I zoned out because I heard some FUD.
Yeah, well, the FUD is like a black zone in your memory now. You can't remember it, but I think it makes sense as like the stablecoin is like a growth hack to get attention, and then that sounds good. Cool.
Yeah, and even if it's just like, again, if you have the stablecoin available for like convenience use, but you're not so worried about like, you know, people going crazy minting too much of it, then you're probably fine. Then you do get the growth hack effect without worrying about like all the other problems.
Yeah, makes sense.
But even now, like just the ZEF token by itself, it's so small and relatively illiquid that you expect like pretty extreme volatility anyway right now. I think you could have legitimately like this Caspa like a crazy move where it just goes up, 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 and just like does this for who knows how long, because we're going into like an early bull market type period. So let's say the primary token like pumps like crazy for the next like couple of years. Well, great, like perfect, no big deal. Who really gives a shit whether the stablecoin gets adopted or not? Right, because it's just basically like Monero part two. It doesn't matter.
Yep. No, you don't want the stablecoin to get adoption.
Mm-hmm. You don't really want it to, because that's only a source of FUD. While it's just like an app, it's like a sparkle in the sky, like it's like a faraway star that you can't quite see.
Exactly.
You know, then it's like, oh, we can't wait for adoption, and we want it to be on everywhere, and da da da. You know, so it's a nice story, but like that's when you know that it's like, you know, that's when it's time to get out, basically. It's on too much shit.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree completely. I think that makes the most sense.
In other words, we're still early. That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you're listening and you're confused as to whether you should be bullish or not, the answer is yes. But we're giving you a cautionary tale that if you sit and watch, like, Anchor Protocol, like, inflate like a balloon with helium, you'd best not be standing with your face directly against the balloon when it explodes.
An interesting thing would be to like think about what is the motive behind, like, what was the motive behind the ZSD that's been minted so far? Was it minted because people saw a big spike in the price and they're like, we're going to take profit and go to ZSD? Was it minted because it's going to be used for an exchange? Was it some of the early miners who need the ZSD for some purpose, like, you know, trading on exchange or doing ARBs or something? Like, what is the purpose of that initial mint? Like, is it organic, or was it just like, or maybe it was like some of the original miners were like the original founders and they mined some. You could imagine they probably did. And then they just like minted some to show like, oh, look, there's, you know, this thing's being minted. It's popular. It's awesome. So there's all sorts of different things, but because it's this like privacy chain, you can't tell anyway. So like, no matter how much FUD you might create, it's all like fiction. Like, it's all just make believe.
I think there are people out there who are seeking stability, and they are really averse and cautious about volatility, and they have sought a refuge inside the Zephyr protocol black hole that is in fact private while being stable. And they're just chilling out there. They're resting, they're lying down, they're marinating, they're soaking, they're floating. They're enjoying themselves. They're enjoying this sense of stability where they don't have to worry about price going up or down. They're just nice and relaxed, nice and tranquil, allowing their body to melt and their breath to lower down in their body, allowing their whole body to relax and get heavier and heavier and heavier and more stable. And they feel their body going down, down, down into the earth, into the middle of the Zephyr protocol, into the unknowable space that cannot be defined, is timeless, is placeless, cannot be categorized in any normal way. But most of all, they just want to be
They want to be held. They want to be safe. I think this is one of the biggest drives of all humans deep down, to feel safe on some level, to feel like we are taken care of, just like a young child held in the warm towel of our mother. We all seek that feeling because many of us lost it a long time ago, that feeling of safety. There's always a problem to solve in the world. There are always things to fix. There's always a way in which this moment we're currently in feels a little bit uncertain, a little bit threatening. And more than anything, I think people have gravitated towards Zephyr because of this sense of safety, a sense of refuge, the sense of being in a sanctuary where you can no longer be attacked.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I was thinking about the black hole as a metaphor. And even before you started doing the guided relaxation piece, I was thinking about more like you're back in the womb.
What do you mean? It's giving a DeFi description.
Oh, your DeFi speech. So, but even before your DeFi speech, I was thinking it's more like you're going, it's like separated. It's sort of like you're back in the womb. Like Zephyr is this separate place that is, it's not got the worries and the perils of smart contracts. It doesn't have all that stress. You don't have to worry about things blowing up and getting exploited. You don't have to worry about any kind of like price manipulation or any kind of deep liquidity issues or market making or anything like that. You just hold the token. It's really simple. It's a blockchain by itself, and you just hold the token in your wallet, and then you watch the price go up, and everybody feels really happy. It's really straightforward. It's really simple. It's not some sort of complicated puzzle to solve, and I think that's really nice.
Did I ever show you Womb Protocol?
Not Womb Protocol. No, I don't know about this one.
Let me try and find it on my phone. It's one
of
the
TLDR.
Yeah, it was like this was a while back. I think you might remember this, but it was something like. A lot of people in life just fail to launch. They fail to launch into the world, and launching means they leave their room, their parents, their house. Maybe they've graduated from university or something. They fail to launch and do something with their lives, and doing something means pursuing a career. It means starting a business. It means committing yourself fully to something, right? Instead, many people now are sort of in this like incel realm or this hikikomori realm, where they're sort of stuck behind their computers. They're refusing to do anything, but at the same time, they're also refusing to die. So Womb Protocol was this like idea of a fully constructed 6-foot-tall, like adult-sized artificial womb, which would allow people who don't want to launch to go back into stasis. And the project would be funded by, let me find an image of this thing, one sec. Actually, you'll love this, Seffy, because it was my whiteboard.
Yeah, the whiteboards are good. I'm telling you, we need a Zeph whiteboard.
Let me post it on this profile. One sec. Let me upload it.
Where did Logan go? Is it like or something?
See what I'm talking about, TraderQT. One sec.
Thank you.
You're going to find the Womb Protocol for us? TraderQT. If you don't hurry up, you're going to have like, you'd freeze your sperm and have, like, surrogate babies.
All right. Go to the top of the thing.
Wait, what? Well, why am I freezing my sperm? Am I going to become infertile?
Go to the top of the thing and look at the womb thing I just designed.
Okay, thank you.
I'm waiting for it to pop up still. Aha.
Would you just read through that, TraderQT? I don't want to. I want to see if it makes sense.
Okay, let me inspect your diagram. Yes, this makes sense. I can see exactly the founder you were thinking of when you designed this project.
Oh yeah, I called it the unbirthing machine. That's what I called it. Forgot about that.
Yep. Okay, so the protocol is an actual physical womb.
I think it's just a product, yeah. I think it would be a product sold to the disappointed parents of a reclusive son or daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you think they want to double down on it? I think that the son or daughter would purchase it sort of secretly.
I like the amniotic fluid that looks like amber. it looks like the thing that, like, you know, like you get the Jurassic Park dinosaurs from, you know what I mean? Like, it's very funny.
I think the protocol side of it was like, I suggested an NFT outer shell. So it'd only be like 10,000 or something in existence. Right. And it's sort of like, everyone could celebrate your run birthing. Like, you know, yeah, I've decided not to launch, not to start a business, not to do anything in my life, not to become an athlete. I've decided that I'm going to unbirth to lower the burden on my family. And for this special celebration on the 26th of June next year, when this thing arrives, it's going to have a lovely golden outer shell. I've got the rarest this thing.
I think it's pretty appropriate. I think there'll be a lot of demand. I think there'll be a lot of demand for this from the crypto space. I think manufacturing and distribution might be in pain. It's not really a protocol. That's my first comment. Before we get into anything.
No. It's more like I did the NFT outer shell, right?
Okay.
So number one, the protocol company raises money by selling these things and can also sell like fluid packs over time and whatever else. And then
to refill. Yeah.
And then they also they're selling like the NFT outer shell, right? And everything to do with that. So they can use that capital to do anything. And then we can build DeFi primitives on top of the NFT outer shell. They interact with the blockchain just like Backbone Labs.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It reminds me a lot of Backbone Labs. Okay. All right, let's take this to DMs. What's the valuation of this venture, this project? Have you started it? Or is it just a concept?
This thing was just like a 5-minute doodle. I think I saw the need for unbirthing though. Because I think it is true. Like a lot of people are in this midway zone and they haven't really committed to either path. And the idea of the unbirthing machine is to help them have another possibility to commit to unbirthing as well as merely just not launching.
Bruce, I have copy-pasted this image, by the way, so I can steal the idea.
Stolen. I can see the...
Oh,
it's quite nice for them because they can choose. They can make the choice.
This is the point. Yes. There's no, like right now, there's no choice. My thinking was like, you either launch into life or you sort of stay stagnant. But if you're stagnant, then I think I've described it here. Let me have a look. Yeah, if you're stagnant, then you've either sort of tried to recreate the womb in your proximate environment, but in a really bad way, right? Because you can't get close to it. Like you can have a dark, messy room or something, but you can't have automatic feeding. You can't have a nice like fluid to float in. You can't have perfect containment and safety inside another human. You can't have anything like that. And they're never fully set. I think I've written here, they're never fully satisfied because they can never fully recreate the conditions of the biological womb.
I feel like of the people in this room, like we should stuff JG back into his mother.
Well, it's like the mother doesn't have to be burdened anymore. That's the point. And it's cheaper for them, right? Because in many cases, the parents or the guardians are still paying, or the older brother or whoever's looking after the person who fails to launch. They're still paying for food and rent and whatever else. Or the government is paying unemployment benefits or social security or something. I would like a world in which if somebody refuses to work or create value themselves, they are unbirthed by society, put in stasis. And they can come out at a future time, maybe 4 years or something, and just like recommit and have another like interview and see what they want to do. But I think they should be unbirthed. Because I think it's like if they continue to age and they continue to do nothing, that is a net drain on society. Whereas if they unbirth, they could be useful later, but at least in the interim time, they're much cheaper.
Yeah, I heard all that. And then I'm just thinking of ways to get JG to fit back in his mother. Like, is it going to require surgery? We just push him back, like maybe as a group, we just push him, you know, because like they push to get the baby out, right? So maybe we push to get baby back in.
Hey, being a doctor, you think you'd be able to figure this out?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not my area of expertise, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just making up shit now.
Mm. Yeah, that's a pretty complicated procedure. But okay, I mean, this is a good start. I think this is a good venture backable idea. I think it'd be appropriate for a lot of founders who were actually working on Terra. I can think of at least three or four that basically did live in a womb. They lived in Doquan's arms. That was the womb.
Well, here's the other thing as well. People commonly mock four-year lockups and things, but this could be a strategy now. Like, you lock your tokens, you unbirth, set a timer for 4 years, then you come out and you're wealthy.
The ultimate diamond hand strategy is to literally separate yourself from the world in fluid.
You know what's interesting? There's like a bunch of people that post like, where are all these like ex-Luna guys or whatever they call us? Where are all these Cosmos people going and talking about Zephyr and whatever? And they could just show up here and ask us, right? Like what's with all the, as if we're being like anything but transparent. Like, all these weird accusations. Oh, maybe they're paid or maybe they're not paid or whatever. It's very funny.
You know what they feel, don't you? What they feel is that attention and money is moving away from their projects, and they get really, really angry because they expected somebody else to shield their backs. And well, even though they didn't have any capacity to shield themselves, and even though they fucking suck, and even though their bags are down like 90% over 2 years, and they've just been waiting like endlessly for nothing to happen.
But Bruce, imagine for just a moment if the two of us went just pure evil, and we just waged war against, waged Twitter war against all these blockchains. The opposite would be like amazing, wouldn't it? Like, instead of shilling, we just like fud the living motherfuck out of everything.
That's what's going on. That's what's happening. Yeah.
I plan to. I think it's no surprise that all of this has happened at once.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to warn everybody. It's like, hey, find us something to talk about. Tell us something interesting about your blockchain or whatever. Make number go up. And instead, the developers like argue about silly like parameter changes and other bullshit. I'm like, you're going into a bull market and you're talking nonsense. Like, you deserve to have your bags cut in half. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I've also realized that a lot of people in this space just have no like innate appreciation for the social side, the fun side, the educational side, the play side, the creating like a fun story side, anything like that. They just like are, even if they are on the same team and they're on the same blockchain or whatever, they're actively angry and gradually getting more and more like annoyed about it and just like would rather behead you. And then on the other hand, there are people who are super appreciative and understand it. And I think from now on, for me, I'm just going to stay the fuck away from people who don't get it and focus on the people who do. Because like, there's a lot of really good people out there who span many domains of like the technology and the social and the story and the hype and everything else. And they're the best people. I think Chad kind of gets it, right? Like of different founders. He understands it. I think the old Dokkan used to get it to some degree. Like, he'd have a bit of fun on Twitter and whatever. But certainly like a lot of people just don't get it at all. Like, and they're really insufferable to deal with. And it's like this same kind of narrow thinking that leads people to FUD Zeph or whatever. Now it's like, they just like, they would love to, they would like, the right question is like, why is this working? But I have not managed to increase the price of my own token despite shilling it for 2 years. Like, it's like, that's the right question to ask, because then maybe you can learn something and apply it to your shitty token. And take it forth and understand what's happening here without like having to try and morally judge people or accuse them of being paid or whatever the fuck else, or like, oh, I can't, this is going to death spiral again, all that stuff. Like, I don't know, these people just don't seem to learn anything ever, which is quite interesting. I think me and Yusef are basically in the prime position, because I think when AI gets more sophisticated over the next few years, I think all of the technical side will just be easy. Quite frankly, I think it'll be easy. I think it'll be easy to deploy a chain. I think I'll be able to talk at a GPT for about half an hour and describe all of the factors of what I want, and it'll just do it. I think it'll just do it really quickly. And then I think my job will just be to like persuade people to run a validator or something. But I think that'll be easy, because their job will be like automatic. If they have cloud computing or a rig or something, it'll just be like instant. It really will not be hard to boot up a sizable project really quickly. And I think all of the devs now are just like in desperation mode, because they're starting to realize it. And this trend started with like white label validators and things, you know, ones you can just launch with a portal or something without having any technical expertise. But I think it's just going to continue more and more and more and more. And basically the devs are dead, except exceptional ones who are good at architecture and are visionary. But the current grifting era of like running a validator and contributing some technical stuff to projects or whatever the fuck else is just like, I think it's going to be dead. And that's part of the reason their rage is growing, because they realize that people like me and you and Ears and everyone here are becoming more and more powerful and will soon displace their livelihoods.
Yeah, there's also this kind of like situation where there's so many different little bitty coins and things, and you're like, the attention is being distributed wider and wider. And people like created like meme coins and things like a couple years back, a few years back, even meme chains and stuff. And, you know, hoping that the number will go up eventually. And then it's like, wait, how do we get that initial group back to sort of like make the party go on? But the thing is, like, you know, it's only the people that have a bag at the very bottom that want to spend the time to shill it or whatever. That's a constant problem. So it's like once the thing goes up a certain level, it's like, wait a minute, like, how do we have a whole new group of people show up that's going to be willing to talk about this thing online or whatever? So that attention piece of it, like, I think is part of what the SocialFi movement sort of came up with. Remember, we were talking about this, Bruce, like a few years back, like, you know, the SocialFi thing and like how that's going to be, eventually you're going to be able to like turn that into an actual, you know, your personality or something into a token and, you know, pitch that. And that started coming about. But even then, it's like that, I don't know how, like, how much legs that has either. Cause like, you know, you only have so many people that you know they're going to buy your token or whatever, and then that group dies down, and then like, what is the incentive for the future person to buy the token attached to your name or some shit? So even that's like, it's like a grift that lasts for a while, but then like, it seems like it would die out like anything else. You'd have to have like constant content to make something like that really something people want. Like, yeah, if you're like a Mr. Beast or some shit on YouTube or whatever, then yeah, you might be able to get away with something like that. But most other people, I think they'd run out of gas. They'd run out of content too. Like, you know, like where you just wouldn't have enough material to like, you know, keep pushing whatever that narrative is. I still think though, like some really, really wacky, it's going to be the wacky game that's going to take off. It's going to be really big. But like a lot of the people building games are just thinking of games like, you know, they're just thinking like old, like regular video games, and like, how do we tie crypto to it or do like, you know, pay to play and shit like that. And I think that stuff only lasts for a brief period of time. It's like a candle that's like burning in both ends. Most of those things don't last long. Yeah. Like how the various blockchains or in whatever projects are going to keep getting attention. That's the trick. Yeah. And I think that's kind of one of the fun things about like Zephyr is that, like what it does, it feels like there's nothing else that really does that. So at least it has a niche. I guess it could be copied, you know, or whatever. But like once you get to a certain hash rate, it's hard to copy it and then also get the actual miners involved. So the network effect is kind of early with this one. It's built up fast. I like that. It's impressive actually how much hash rate the damn network has so quickly.
Mm.
Weird. Like I don't know who it was or like Monero miners or whatever. But someone thought this was very interesting well before we did, because to have a 940 mega hashes a second right now already, that's pretty impressive.
As an artist, I also feel like this is just a really wonderful canvas to paint stories on, where it comes to the founder or the usage or narratives about privacy in the future, or just like this rejection of this epidemic of pussy coins or whatever. I just find myself really inspired by it in different ways, right? Like I can probably riff about 1,000 different speeches about this thing, like just spontaneously. And I think that's really nice because a lot of things just don't inspire me at all. A lot of things are just actively boring and I can feel my body sort of compress and shut down and my brain just like crunch because it's so fucking boring that it's like, it would almost be ugly to make it sound exciting because it's just a stagnant, boring blockchain. And all the founders really want to do is like grift some dollars out of it and make it liquid enough for long enough that their Clift invested tokens eventually release and they can dump on everyone's heads. And that's like the primary goal. But this is sort of a pure, nice sort of anarchist thing. That I don't know. There's the fragrance of inspiration about it for some reason. And I think that's really wonderful. And like, I'm motivated to go out and find old people, and have a de facto burn and find COVID people, who've taken the vaccine and everything else. Like, I'm motivated to go find these people because I think protocol survival is directly correlated by our ability to find people sufficiently old or infirm enough to die and effectively burn the collateral.
So you want a bunch of old people to own the token, die, and not like
People who are going to die of natural causes. I want people who are going to die as a result of stuff you've injected into them, like vaccines or whatever. And I want people who are otherwise mentally deficit or deficient, who aren't going to check this in a long time and who definitely aren't going to respond to a quick death spiral or something like that. I think it's basically like the slower the response time of the sample group of Zeph holders, and also the more of them that pass away, the better standing we are for long-term stability.
And by the way, Crypto in Style, I posted up top here, said that Zeph merch is now available for anyone interested on their website. It's probably like made to order or something.
Do you remember, or have you seen Ledger do hats, and you have a pouch in the hat to put your Ledger in, and it's big and orange, and it's like, I'm walking around with my Ledger in my hat. Please rob me.
I thought that was like a horrible clickbait video. They put Ledger in a hat now. Isn't that stupid?
I thought it might be real, to be honest, but I didn't check. So I don't know. They're French, aren't they? So it's not impossible they'd do something like that.
I think it's a bit too obvious. But yeah, that's the plan. I think for me, Zeph is very inspiring right now. And then it's also a matter of positioning for me. Like, I think next day or two will be Zeph perps on one of the exchanges I advise. And then hopefully Zeph USD pairs, which will be interesting as well, because it should drive usage. Basically all the teams are talking to each other now. So it's all pretty positive. I'm curious how many people are going to long this thing or short it or whatever, and the effect of all that. Should be interesting. I would have loved to long this thing at about $6, just at the point where we started talking about it.
Bruce, I think it's dinner time.
It's okay. I'm hungry too. But yeah, one, if there's a message, a final message to everyone here, I would say that the message probably is to go out and find as many elderly people as you can to buy this thing. The dynamic is simple. If a person passes away, they don't no longer have access to their blockchain keys or wallet, and the family probably don't know how to find it, or probably don't know what the hell Zeph is, or have probably in most cases never heard of crypto or used it before, since they should be middle-aged if they're sufficiently old, your victims. Basically, the more old people we find and the more mentally deficient people we find, the more people will either lose access to their wallets forever or pass away and therefore have no ability to access it. The more that happens, the more the Zeph token is essentially burned. The part of the supply becomes immobile forever as a result of that. And as a result of that immobility, then it no longer contributes to a downward pressure on the token, a sell-off. And that in turn keeps us above the 400% or whatever collateral ratio and prevents any kind of long-term death spiral. So really the main task for people here is to find people who are as old as possible and get them to buy as much as possible. This is how you achieve long-term stability.
I'm pretty sure no other blockchain has this thesis. I'm pretty much 100% certain.
I'm relatively sure as well. You could do something like a serious project where you only sell it to like retired people or something and just like go for the unbeatable burn.
Would low HRV individuals also be legible?
Oh, hey, I'm low HRV.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you if there's a way you can think of to link HRV with Zeph, some sort of connected protocol, like HRV to Black Hole, some kind of spanning of the bridge.
I think so. They have a JavaScript client, so you can make wallets and stuff in people's browsers and send Zeph back and forth. Anything's possible.
I'm putting in higher lows on my HRV, by the way. I'm up to 21 now.
Oh, nice. It's not too bad.
I have no idea what I'm doing to make it happen. Maybe the thing is just coaxing me into it, or I don't know what. Like, it's magic, maybe.
It would be interesting for you to do like some kind of
protocol or something, whether it's exercise or whatever, and see what happens. Exercise or breathing or whatever. What's your overnight respiratory rate? Do you know that? Have you looked at the stats and stuff?
Let me see. Where do I look this up?
Should be on the the recovery page.
Recovery, okay. Let's see. I got 61% recovery. Resting heart rate is within the typical range of 63. Resting heart rate 63. Respiratory rate, it was 14.9.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Acceptable or what? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Like, it's pretty normal. You probably know that as well. But it's like,
but like, you're going to modify your sleeping respiratory rate, how you're not, right?
You can, for sure. I did a lot.
You can
basically slow down your breathing in the day, and over a long enough period of training and doing that and monitoring it, it will slow down overnight as well. Because you're just talking about like the modification of the whatever receptors detect CO2 in your blood over time. Your natural inclination to breathe, whenever that urge happens, is as a result of your medulla oblongata in your brainstem detecting whatever CO2 in your blood, whatever, you know better. But yeah, you can modify that over time, like in the reverse method, by slowing down your breathing enough that your body naturally loses the inclination to breathe at that certain level and instead reduces it. There's a load of these weird things where you can, like, by conscious intention over a long enough period, you can change your baseline. And that's one of them.
Carl just commented, "Are you guys still talking? Went off and did hours of life and you're still here chatting nonsense." He's not wrong. We should probably go do some life right now. I'm going to go eat something.
Yeah, space is dead.
Okay, bye everybody. Later on.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth, and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth, and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, say and wonder about the worth, and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
We'll be right back.
spaces.